no expectation to understand or to gain anything. Just listen to the Buddha's words and try to understand what he said very deeply, because it's all about reality right now. No expectation. Just listen and understand. That's the best way to have less attachment or wish or desire to understand more or better, because of very deep, very subtle. Just learn to understand, that's all. Any moment while one is thinking, just think in order to understand. Consider it, not to have more conditions for right awareness. It comes by conditions, naturally. That's the only way to have less attachment, because it hinders all the time.
It develops naturally.
Naturally, really naturally, and against anyone's wish.
And perhaps unknowingly, too.
Pardon?
And perhaps unknowingly, too.
Right, right. By then, when it has developed, one realizes that because of such development only, much more than the self is trying to know it because it works so well, it's the function of panya, so it's better than the others. It can develop better by itself.
Sometimes the difficulty is that we, the self, wants to see progress and looks for it.
That's it.
And when it doesn't find it, it's disappointed and frustrated. And
And the proof is this moment there is seeing, how much there is the understanding of seeing, or how much there is right awareness of it. If it's not yet, just forget it. And then listen again and again and understand what Buddha said. To be good and just want to experience the true nature of reality, what is proper or right.
Listen,
because you see that
not
since
trying.
Everyone has accumulation of ignorance and attachment so great, it's impossible to get rid of the idea of self. Suddenly. So it has to be right understanding only, no matter when, because there are conditions for right thinking, considering arise, it arises. Otherwise, the self try very hard to have it by different conditions too.
I think a moment ago Ajahn was asking, as between becoming a better person and understanding true nature of reality.
Mm-hmm. And the desire to gain knowledge and want to experience the true nature of realities. Mm. Which one is right?
Neither.
The first one, see. Just panya sees the danger of the akusala. So is panya, which conditions goodness more and more in life to be parami, because one usually forgets about one's own accumulation. What appears in a day is only just very little part of that which has been accumulated, like the iceberg. See, what is under the ice is greater than that which comes up.
First was developing understanding naturally versus trying to be good or trying to have it arise, and so one is right path and one is wrong path.
In order to be good, it needs understanding too. So it's not I who try, but understanding itself can condition better and better life. Otherwise, akusala is there and is supported by lopa. Even one learns about the true nature of reality, lopa is there, trying to have more understanding.
So the first one was being, and the second one was wanting. And that was the difference, I think, between the two. That's why the first is right.
just living naturally, not trying.
Being a good person was the expression
used. Yes.
And the second one was wanting to have more understanding.
And without the teachings of the Buddha, there will not be even the two at all.
So wanting to be a good person, being a good person will follow with the development of understanding.
Both are conditioned by panya.
Yes, okay.
I think Ajahn is using being a good person to mean developing all kinds of kusala.
And panya does it, yeah. What about anyone who goes to the meditation center? They don't have such understanding how to live at all because of not having panya. They just want to have result, experiencing the arising and falling away of nama and rupa, but it's impossible because no idea or no understanding about one's own accumulation of ignorance and attachment at all. That's why we have the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha as refuge.
That's why we have the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha as refuge. I don't know.
Our refuge.
Mm-hmm.
To follow, to learn, to understand, to be conditioned for more and more understanding.
I believe I understand, but I was not clearly understanding the connection, but I think I do.
I think the connection is that if we go to meditation center and think we have heard or understood something of the Buddha's teachings and just start focusing or following a practice with an idea of self that can control in some gross or subtle way, then actually at that moment there's no understanding of what Buddha, Dhamma or Sangha means. There's no refuge. So, but because it is possible to take refuge in the Triple Gem by really understanding what each word means, that Dhamma really means reality that is anatta, then it is possible to understand why it is the wrong path. Otherwise, without that, impossible to understand what is right and what is wrong without an understanding of what's really said.
And also refuge in the sense of confidence that panya develops where the conditions are right and there's no need to do anything special in order to hasten its development.
Yeah.
This was an expression you used. I think in Sri Lanka you mentioned each word of the teachings conditions right understanding because each word is the word of truth. Well, each word conditions right understanding if it is considered rightly and understood rightly, because each word of the teachings is about Dhamma, is about the development of understanding, which leads to taking refuge in the triple gem, because each word is about development of Satipatthana, but it just depends whether it's understood or not.
And each word of the Buddha comes from his enlightenment.
Word is capable of conditioning right understanding.
When there is understanding.
Otherwise people may understand it and misunderstand and think, oh, just by reading the words of the Buddha or reading the suttas, it will lead to understanding, but not so, because it depends on the accumulated understanding and considering whilst reading and reflecting.
I'd like to come back
to David and raccoon owl's aches and pains. So yesterday we talked about body pain and how really it is unpleasant, painful feeling which accompanies bodily experience. And Owl also mentioned toothache, and we were discussing this morning how when one hears about other people's aches and pains, it's easy to say just dhammas and just anatta and impermanent and doesn't last. But when it's one's own aches and pains, it seems like it's something more and taken for my body and my toothache and seems to last. And we were discussing about how that's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha talked about the rupas that are commonly taken for the body, because this is what we have so much attachment for. David or Al, would you like to add to that?
What should I add to that? anyway, Sarah.
Do you own anything?
No.
So the legs are not yours?
No, they're not mine.
The pain is not yours?
No, that's not mine either. Yeah. But there's attachment, you see, unfortunately. So those experiences bring about the sense of me and my suffering.
Yeah.
But
it means not enough understanding. Mm. That's all.
So psychologically, we can have some understanding about how things are, but when it all comes down to things occurring, sometimes that understanding is minimal and it's not enough to get us through.
Because the intellectual understanding cannot cure.
Only panya.
Only panya. Of higher level.
Mm-hmm. And is it your toothache?
After having the conversation with you before leaving last night, in the car, I thought that, maybe I have the good opportunity or good chance to reconsider Buddha Dhamma during the dental treatment. Is that okay?
Or now? Anytime?
Like even now, we cling so much to the idea of my tooth, my ear, my body, my all the time. So even now, good time to consider
still,
also.
Still. Yeah, it's still.
So actually, we think it's my eye, my tooth, but actually, in reality, no eye, no tooth, just different moments of citta arising, experiencing different rupas. Yes. And then we think about it because of sanya and call it tooth, and then my toothache. But actually, just a moment of experiencing through the body sense. And all that's actually experienced is just hardness, softness, temperature, or motion.
I try, but I try everything that I heard from Thanachan.
The self is there.
Because I have time, it's about like 3 hours. 3 hours, so I try everything, but it's pain still. I thought that and it's not, I understand it's not mm-hmm. enough, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the level to, like Thanachan said, it's not here,
because it's I trying
to stop the pain, but actually that painful feeling is conditioned already. If it's conditioned by karma, no one can stop it. And when it's like I trying to stop it and my toothache, actually no detachment at that moment, because so much attachment to pleasant feeling and taking it for my body. So I think it's not so much a matter of trying, but just beginning to understand, even at this moment, like Ajahn said yesterday, actually just elements arising and falling away. So that's why the considering always has to be now, because now you're not in the hospital. So it has to be at this moment that what is touched is only hardness, not a tooth or an arm.
And what did you do when you said you try?
I tie everything.
What
I tie,
is that, everything?
I thought about hardness. So
oh, I mean, you think about it, right?
Yes, I think about it.
Not at the moment when it's hard.
I thought about your face too.
And it cannot.
I tie everything because I have much time.
By then, attachment is your teacher.
Couple day ago, I experienced the pain on my finger, and then another finger got the same pain from the hot glue gun on the finger, and on after the second one, I felt it really hot. And at that moment, I said to myself, "Wow, if I can feel the hot, the heat from the glue gun as quick at this time, why I could not understand when another Dhamma appeared to me, like Lopa or the angry or the another Dhamma that appeared. It seemed to be never happened in my mind, you know. But when the hot glue can stick on my finger, it seemed to be, I know right away."
The answer is, Dhammas are anatta.
Yes, and Ajahn Krab, then I just look, not that I look, I feel the pain and stay with the pain. And
you stay with.
Yes, Ajahn. But like it before, never pay attention the pain that appear. Normally when you know, it's going to do something to get rid of the pain, but after realized we lead it the pain and stay with the pain and see how the pain is, I can react that the pain.
So it's you.
Yes, Ajahn.
And what do we mean by staying with the pain?
Stay with the pain. Pay attention to the pain that at the finger, and see how the pain is, like learning, or did it the pain in learning the nature of the pain.
When pain appears, its nature is there.
Yes.
If we then pay attention to it.
Right.
To learn more about it.
Yes.
Before, never
pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
still it's there, even though one didn't pay attention to it.
Right.
No one can say that pain isn't noticed, because by definition, pain is something that is noticed. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So when it arises, its characteristic can be known at that time.
Yeah.
Right. But I think paying attention to learn more about it is a bit like saying, well, let's pay attention to Loba, to know more about Loba. It's not the same as naturally attending to the characteristic of Loba when it appears.
Mm. But, you know, when During pay attention to the pain, and realize that sometimes the pain is not steady. Sometimes it's higher degree of the pain. Sometimes the pain is lower. So at least learning what happened, it's not going to get my mind to somewhere else and not pay attention.
This is exactly the same idea that the meditator has, like when they're slow walking or focusing on the sensation or feeling and staying with it, or seeing how when they sit in one posture the pain becomes more noticeable. But it's actually, as Ajahn said, it's all the idea of I and my pain, and mm-hmm. I try and focus and I try and be aware. And as it says in the commentary to the Satipatthana Sutta, this isn't the kind of awareness that the Buddha taught. This is the kind of awareness that even a dog or a cat knows when, you know, there's pain mm-hmm. or they're touching something hot, or a child who's never come across the Buddha's teachings knows when they touch a cooker and there's painful feeling. So the Buddha's teaching is much more subtle because it's about dhammas that are anatta, and the way to understand and be aware of dhammas is not by trying to focus or stay with or watch some painful feeling, because painful feeling has arisen and fallen away long before there's any idea of attending to it. It's just a conditioned dhamma. And why would one like to attend to that dhamma rather than any other dhamma that appears? Just because of self wanting to focus and notice and be aware.
Yes.
So it's lobha that is leading one.
Okay.
And it's like a kind of wrong practice at that time,
yes.
Following lobha to try and catch or focus or know that experience.
And any difference between I realize that was a wrong practice, wrong view, but at least to pay attention to the pain at that moment, it is better than the person who doesn't realize that the pain is there and pay attention to some another place else.
I think it's better to just have ignorance than to follow a wrong practice.
Okay.
Trying to follow it or trying to be aware or trying to attend to it, because that is motivated by self trying to do something.
Okay.
It's thinking. A lot of it's just thinking. The pain.
Okay.
The moment of pain has fallen away long ago.
Yes. Okay.
I would say that paying attention or not paying attention to pain, if you're looking for a way to deal with the pain, whichever works, but let's not confuse that with the development of the path taught by the Buddha. If there's painful feeling and you find it helps to pay attention to it in order to have less discomfort, nothing wrong with that. But if we're talking about the development of understanding, then it's not part of that, because that understanding development is a natural attending to characteristic, which is different from when we deliberately attend to characteristic.
Is ignorance better than ignorance?
Ignoring? Can you explain that word?
Idea of attending or not attending to is the same. It's
not the same.
It is the same.
Whichever way, it's still me doing or not doing something, so it's still not understanding.
For my understanding, he's described about his pain. Okay, it's him. I know him very well because I lived with him for 15 years at least. Before, when he got hurt whatsoever, even mosquito bite, he running to get tiger balm, whatever, and then he got, I went out, look, honey, look. You know, he couldn't stop talking about just one bite of the mosquito. It's annoying. I'm sorry, that I tell the truth, okay? Since I know him for 15 years, that's him. Don't talk about he get hurt from the gurgan. Even mosquito bite, he complaining. Forget about that. Can you imagine if before learning a Dharma, maybe go to the hospital, can be. Now, the way he describes, that means that he's trying to deal with the pain that he got. If before learn the Dharma, he ran to get ice, like I say, go to the hospital. But now, whatever it happened to him, whatever bit him, insect outside, or see the big lizard, we got big one here in my house. Unbelievable, this we call tuke. Have you ever seen the big one? Usually, normally, tuke. This one, as Elsie said at my house, tuke. Very loud in my house. If it's Prinya before, oh my God. He cannot get someone to get that tuke out. But now, he let that happen and stay with it. And stay with it. Get the experience. It's just a sound. It's just hearing. It's happened and stay for a while and then it's gone. That's for my understanding. He tried to stay with that pain. Because the heat, it's going to reduce slowly and gone. So why we cry out loud? I don't know. I explained that from my understanding. Just him. I don't know other people, but just him.
No, please.
And let me tell you about my experience.
You've gone to your experience. His behavior is more considerate to you now because he doesn't want to react and alarm you from minor incidents.
I don't think so. Who knows that? Kunprinya, is that what Jonathan thought?
After I understand, listen to the Dharma discussion or learning or attend the Dharma discussion, my behavior was changed a lot.
For her?
No,
no.
It by itself.
Mm-hmm. That's not uncommon, is it? For no, people's behavior.
You know, before I used to cry out loud a lot of many things.
Like what? To care and mosquito.
A lot of things, Ajahn.
Snake, he died.
Is it?
He died. That's to see snake, he died right there.
But
so are we saying it's more kusala, more understanding? But what is it? That's the important question.
I realize that they have their own life, you know, and I start to understanding if I see the snake or see something that bad, that because my karma.
That's just thinking, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. See something bad. Is seeing a snake not necessarily bad? Just a snake.
Right, you to be like a dislike behavior. Right. You know, I don't like this, I don't like that. But why should, if I develop or keep that thing, that bad behavior, to myself on the time, that means I keep growing the bad habit. But what is see, what just it appear, and disappear.
But Ajahn always explains that the reality is different dhammas. And when one is seeing a snake, the dhamma of seeing is the same as the seeing now. So no matter what we think about the situation, thinking about the situation in those terms has nothing to do with the understanding of the dhammas that are arising at the moment. Because whether we are seeing a pleasant object or an unpleasant object, whether we react with dosa or with attachment, it's still just seeing consciousness and visible object. So although our behavior can change when we come into contact with other ways of thinking, and particularly the Dhamma, what we need to understand particularly is the unique path that was taught by the Buddha. And that is not a path of changing behavior as such. It's a path of understanding of the Dhammas, any Dhamma that is arising at the present moment. So that's what we are trying to discuss in these sessions.
Okay, here. I'd like to discuss about fear metta. I got two friends, Dhamma friend, who got this fear that I like to talk about it. Originally we planned, I booked Ajahn to go to outside Bangkok for 3 days. And so I planned that some American friend suggested to go to Phanga, which is Khao Lak, where tsunami happened before. So one friend who worked for the embassy, Kun Tiu, she refused completely to go. She said that picture of tsunami is still bombarding in her mind, so she'd be scared to experience or to go there, even with Thanajan, right? And Nong El, Jagrit's wife, also felt, she also said she cannot go there. She can't because she's so scared of the ghost, right? Did you say the ghost? So we would like to talk about that today. So, Thanajan, would you go if I invited
yes,
you?
Yes, anywhere.
See? Guys? Yeah, I know what goes. And Kun Bentimat was saying, huh? These two Ajahn students, are they still scared of ghosts? Is there a ghost? take. So, yeah, well, I know fear is Dhamma. Yeah. But fear is also Dhamma, isn't it?
I'm not going.
Ghost?
It is Dhamma.
You're scared of your own thinking, your bad thought. You created the story in your mind that, you know, there's a ghost or something scary. But you had bad experience, Ajahn. You should tell everybody your bad experience about the boat. I don't know.
The ghost?
The ghost? Not the ghost.
I never seen the ghost before, no. But I feel like this, scaring of the ghost since I was young. So I thought it's Dhamma, no problem. The scaling of the ghost is Dhamma, right? So,
but not now, it's Dhamma.
Not now, it's Dhamma.
But now, is it Dhamma?
Now it's Dhamma.
So we don't have the idea of ghost.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Until it's darkness. Because at Khao Lak, there was, if you remember, it was the tsunami, and it happened all over. So it's for sure.
So
there are many ghosts.
So at Khao Lak, it's not visible object.
Visible object.
So why are you afraid? Why you are afraid of visible object?
Visible object.
Yeah, Khao Lak is also visible object.
Yes.
So
your fear about Khao Lak is what you will see or what you will hear Or what will you feel, or what will you think?
Think. I heard the story before, and
yeah, so just thinking. So John is saying, when you are there, it's just pleasant, visible object. Nothing scary in pleasant, visible object. Just thinking.
But I think that actually Al has one
point, is that actually they are just dharmas, and we have different accumulated tendencies. Like when Jonathan and I were in Sri Lanka after we left Ajahn, we went to visit the tsunami areas in Sri Lanka because we're interested. Actually, I had attachment to visiting and seeing, attachment to those visible. So it's just different accumulations. So it doesn't mean that we all have the same accumulated tendencies and we all like to go to the same places. Like, we go on different tours and have different lobha. So I think one can also be understanding of the other's tendencies, and everyone has different fears, whether it's of snakes or visiting these places. So, yeah, there can be more understanding. It is just thinking and fear, and it is just visible object, but still different attachments, different interests, and we can be understanding of each other with different tendencies and likes and dislikes too.
And who know that there's ghosts around here or not?
Everywhere we go.
See?
We didn't go to Phuket about after the tsunami. Until 2-3 years before that, I need to go to work. That's
It might be behind your back.
Yes. I'm not a cue. Not a cue.
And you are not afraid? You are not afraid of that?
Not darkness. That's okay.
I see.
And when you take a shower, really scared when my dad died. Oh, I have to turn the light
all night
in the bathroom.
How long?
Many months.
It's your father.
Yes, my father.
Yeah.
And we were very close.
There can be the understanding of as soon as someone is not there anymore, what you change a feeling. If he's still alive and he's there, and when he was not there because he's not alive anymore, the feeling's different, not permanent. When he's not dead, you might love him, but after that, you don't want him even to come to see you.
It's okay in the dream. In the dream.
All adhammas, see, before there can be the realization that there's no one at all, no ghost, no I.
So if she doesn't really understand, have the understanding of Dhamma, even in theory, it's still that fear is still there, no matter what.
I think that nobody can stop the arising of dosa, unpleasant feeling at all. But there can be moment of understanding it when Panya develops.
I can understand her fear that happened now, because Many years ago, when Ivan is still alive and I had this fear attack me at night, yeah, it happened at night. Even I see a little, you know, the leaf move, I still really scared. I cannot sleep. 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I have to wake up Ivan. And one day, Ivan just said to me that when that fear happened, I said, I was so shaken. And he said, you know, it's a golden opportunity to study the fears when it happened, because once it's gone, it's not there to be experienced, and you won't understand it. So it's the good opportunity to study when it happened. So after that, I had another fear attack me, same, same thing, and the leaves. No, not the leaves. It just come in the dark. Yeah, like her, and for no reason, like you can't sleep, and just like, oh, I'm by myself, you know. So something could happen. But anyway, so I experienced that fear, and then I thought about Ivan's word that when fear happened, I should study. So I study. I would like use the word term of like I was looking at that fear and telling that fear that okay, come on, I know who you are, you know. But anyway, so basically I understood that there's really nothing but it's only thinking in your mind. You got so much dosa at that moment, and you didn't like what you know happened. Now you love yourself too much to the point where you scare and for no reason. So ever since, I never felt have that fear ever again, except for one time. Not that much fear, but one time when the last day of the funeral of Ivan, when I came home, the second last day, I came home. The house was very dark. I couldn't, you know, I was really couldn't sleep that night. So the next day, the last day of funeral, I went and asked Ajahn that, you know, when you are around with Dhamma friend, you don't have any fear. You're happy. You listen to the Dhamma, and you got some understanding, accumulated that. But then when you get home, like nobody around, you're by yourself. So loneliness or unhappy start to attack you a bit. So Ajahn said to me that, Kunal, you're not alone. You have Dhamma. He's your best friend. There's no one better, nothing better than Dhamma. So you're not alone. So ever since, I don't have any worry and fears, because every time that word come into my mind, and it helped me.
So the ghost is not your father. No more. Because he's a ghost.
No more father. But I think it is very natural. Only the anagami
has no more fear, no more dosa at all. So that even if it's like now, there doesn't seem to be much worry or fear, but the tendency is accumulated so deeply. Sooner or later, it will arise again, this life, next life, because it's not eradicated at all, not anywhere close to.
I think earlier you were saying that Kunal's fear of ghosts is irrational, and if one understood the Dhamma better, irrational fear wouldn't arise. But actually, all agusala is irrational, if one understands. Yeah, so it's accumulated tendency.
It helps a lot
to understand that actually, even when he was alive, there was no father and no father now, and no husband, no wife, no ghost. Actually, only conditioned mental and physical phenomena, just namas and rupas. So what one is afraid of is just citta, chetasika, rupa, nothing else in life. But we have the idea that there are ghosts, or there is father, or there is husband, but actually it's just thinking of ideas conditioned by what is seen, which is just visible object, what is heard, just sound, and so on.
So, is there Kun Sundara now?
There's the idea, the image, but actually only visible object in this moment. But Sanya works so hard at each moment. So there's the immediately after seeing, there's the thinking of the impression of shape and form, and then the thinking of this person, and then the idea of Sundara and a story about Sundara. But actually it's all just thinking about an idea.
What is there now is only elements. Before there can be the eradication of the idea of self, right understanding is conditioned to understand little by little. visible object cannot be anyone at all.
Regard to ghosts, there seems to be this sense in Thailand that when there's a death, after there's a death, there must be a ghost. But from my understanding of the Dhamma, we don't know that. We don't know that. All we know is that after a death, after following death is a rebirth, and not necessarily at all in the Petta realm. So much of this is just thinking with dosa based on no knowledge. I mean, with, you know, there's thinking that for sure there must be ghosts where that's, you know, in areas where the tsunami was hit. We don't know. I mean, there's nothing that can tell us that there is, because we don't know where all, you know, where those beings were reborn. Huh? I don't know. Is that wrong on my part, or?
I think that's right. A lot of cultural ideas.
So
yeah.
We think of ghosts in that place. What about ants here? Or we have no idea. It's just a kind of superstition, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Where's Kundong Den's mother now?
It seems to me that all cultures have their kind of currencies of whatever, be it ghosts or in the West, they'll have their own theories about different ideas. It's just all different concepts, and some more, you know, seem more like in Thailand, perhaps it is ghosts. Well, we go to the West and they have their own ideas about whatever, and so it's just other different types of thinking, really.
Thinking with attachment, thinking with
aversion, thinking with fear. So the problem all comes back to the citta now, the way of thinking now.
And if these reality are not known yet, no way to understand the Four Noble Truths. Asatipatthana and Pariyatti Patipatti Pativeda.
So, talk about ghost. Our conclusion is fear, right? No matter what is fear. Fear of snake or ghost or whatever is fear. It's the Dharma. Okay, I'm going to tell. First of all, I would like to say that my English is very poor because I didn't go to school to learn English. I just learned by experience that live in America for 20 years. From all my customers and my nail technician. So you guys can correct me if I say something wrong. Okay, I'm talking about before I come to Muniti to study the Dharma, I have been to so many temples to, you know, meditation, of course. It kind of, we learn nothing. I mean, nobody, any monk can explain the Dharma. They just what you say that word? Psychology. Just sit there, you know, that's how. Just sit there, relaxing. Just picture yourself sitting down from head to toe. Your right hand on your left hand, this and that. So we just, you know, imagination. Every word that the monk, head monk says. That's, I forget again. Later. Psychology. Okay, that's my experience. But by my heart, I always wanted to start Dharma, but I haven't found or go to the right place. And then I'm going to talk about my husband, that he has gone to Thanachan for 3 years before me. He hasn't tried in so many ways, Before he go to bed, he put on a YouTube, Than Ajahn. He gone in the Pawang Khajit long ago. But me, stay awake. Listen to Than Ajahn. Ask me, do I understand? No. But me, the one who listen, I cannot turn it off. I don't know how. Me, stay awake. I look at the clock. Midnight. two. You know, like awake and sleep, it's driving me nuts. That's what I'm going to say. When he washed his car, he told it out loud. I know. He want me to hear that. But again, because I don't even know what the word Dharma mean. I always say, I'm a Buddhist. Oh, I went to the temple. I do this, I do that. I do meditation for 10 days. Hey, I've been there, done that. It's an ego. Atta, 100%. I can say that now. But after I'm going to say that I come to Ajahn, easier. After I come to Than Ajahn, the first time, I believe. And then I drive to Bangkok to visit my father. I listen to the CD for 3.5 hours. I had learned something. I didn't mean that I'm very, very quick learner or anything, but just a little thing in those 3.5 hours. That day, I went to visit my dad. With my heart that I never felt before. My heart is kind of pounding that I'm going to see my dad. That's the first time of so many times that I went to visit him. That's the first time that I feel I appreciated him, that he brought me in this world. I forgot all about that he done bad, that he never there for me whatsoever. That start me. That start me thinking about that. I have found the real drama that I'm looking for. And after that, my husband asked me if I would like to go to 1 Atit, you know, Sunday at the Muniti. I said yes. Without the reason, I just say yes. And then I go with him every Sunday. It makes me happier. I live my life better when I know that nimitta. We're living with nimitta. Everything is nimitta of this, of that, because we already know this is a car, this is a chair. That I think that I understand of nimitta, that Than Ajahn explained it to me. And a week ago, I told my husband, because I'm studying right now about the jitta, it comes with every jetasik, it comes with jitta, every jitta, no, except 7 of them. Okay, I know all the name, but I never catch it. You know what I mean? Until a week ago, I turned the television on. I saw the lady on the television. But as soon as I saw her, my memory, she looked like one of my friends. I didn't think about her at all at that minute. She lived in America. I never think of her at all. But when that TV come on, I saw the lady, oh, look like Kun Liu. Her name is Liu. At that moment, oh, Sanya. I think that I have learned another word, Sanya. I think I understand what the Sanya is. That's one of those 7 jetasik. It come in the packet. Every jit is come with that 7 jitta. You know it or not, it's come in the package. If that's correct, I'm going to ask correct.
So even now, we don't have
to wait till we turn on the TV each moment. Yes, now, yes. The sun, yeah, like now seeing, impossible to think about the colors of the tablecloth or the cup or about Sundara if at the moment of seeing, Sanya doesn't arise, and at every with every single chitta at each moment.
Mm.
Otherwise, no thinking of anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And with nimitta, so we get an idea of the impression, and actually the understanding can get closer and closer to understanding what visible object is or what sound is at this moment. Because otherwise we think of just, oh, the sign of Kun Sarah or Kun Jonathan. But actually, if there wasn't visible objects seen now, if there wasn't nimitta of what is seen now, there couldn't be any nimitta or any idea or impression of Jonathan or Anne. So this is why we talk a lot about realities like visible object that's seen in order to understand it is actually the nimitta of visible object now, getting closer and closer to really understand the reality in our life, not just watching TV, but even at this moment, anytime. Yeah. And I think, Anne, you wanted to bring up the topic of getting closer and closer to visible object and sound.
John, a few times over the past few weeks, you have talked about understanding coming closer and closer to understanding the object of the citta. Can you say more about that?
I mean that what has happened doesn't last at all. It's not lost. For example, the memory of your friend, see? And we don't have to think that today I will have sanya or understanding sanya. It's impossible. But the panya works its way. They all sankhara khandas work their way. So at the moment when she saw the picture of
a friend.
Mm-hmm.
The person who looked like a friend.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And she begins to understand sanya. It's the moment that one can understand anathaness. But it depends on how much one can have understanding of realities, whether it is sanya or whether it is just only visible object. All in one's life, every moment, every reality indicates its nature as anatta. But panya is not enough to know. For example, right now, seeing, see, the moment of its arising and cease and falls away are anatta each time. And the hearing, from seeing to hearing, anattaness, always anatta. But panya is not enough to understand any reality. That's why without expectation, just listen and understand at that very moment and have confidence in one's own understanding that it's true. By then, it's collected, accumulated, until time comes to appear, to arise as not self.
So it's the understanding that develops and becomes stronger and stronger.
Different moment, different
moments.
Aspect, different levels.
Right. And the different levels can come closer and closer to understanding.
Because it's accumulated.
Right.
Right now, no more sanya of anicca or of natta, see? Only sanya of people and things. Only when it's proper time for its arising, so it can arise.
Proper time in an experience like Kun Benji just told us about, it may not happen again or for a long time. And perhaps one tends to.
May not. Or it will never arise again.
It will never happen again. So it's gone completely.
I mean that when I'm talking about that, the sanya, if I don't learn or study the Dharma, I would never have that thinking, right? Because I have seen, before I learned the Dharma, I've seen every day, seen this and that. Oh, I remember what it looked like. Oh, that person looked like that person. But because of I have learned Dharma, that's why. But at that second, I don't know why that word is come up in my mind that, oh, the sanya. At that second, that I don't know why, oh, now I kind of understand sanya. It come with every citta.
And the three words you mentioned
can all be related, sati, sanya, and nimitta. Because of sanya marking the reality, there is sanya also marking the sign or the impression of the reality. And this leads to thinking about the idea about the reality. Again, sanya at each moment marking it. And at any moment when it's wise considering, any moment of wise reflection, or any moment of kusala, for example, at a moment of dana or metta or understanding, sati is there, just not trying to be aware, not trying to follow the pain, not trying to focus on the sanya, but just naturally at moments of wise reflection, sati is there. But as soon as it's trying to catch sanya or trying to catch pain or trying to be aware, no sati at all at those moments, because then it is citta with lobha, so no sati at all. So sati is very different from the conventional idea we have of being aware or following, or the idea people have like while washing dishes, being aware of what they're doing. This is not sati at all, because it only arises with wholesome cittas. So only at a very brief moment of understanding, or brief moment of metta, or brief moment of generosity, for yes. example.
I haven't explained about the sati yet. I just talk about the kind of the metta from my understanding. Even not the whole thing yet, but at least I understand a little bit. It's make my life, the rest of my life, I believe I can say that I can have a better life and happier. It still means happier, I understand, but to compare, you know, at least it's make it, life it easier for me and my husband, because we don't work anymore. So 24/7 together, of course, you know. You understand what I mean. So now, you know, when we walking past by each other, at least we give a smile to each other. Whatever we fight over is not a big thing at all. It's not a big thing at all, I'm telling you. But because of, we take for granted. We don't appreciate each other. But now I believe, you know, I can speak that for him too, but we appreciate each other more. Because we go in the same way.
Well, I wasn't clear whether you were saying you appreciate each other more or he's just an emitter. Is that...
we still have life. I mean, yeah, I know. That's what I mean. But before I went to China, John, we're still together, but it's different, it's difficult. I'm telling you, we sit down, even for breakfast, a little thing that he say, I cannot take it, I weep. All right, whatever. But after I go to Thanachan, whatever, it's just gone from when I don't know. I cannot not say that word anymore, you know, usually, whatever.
Well, obviously, it's good that one has more patience with the other person,
yes,
more consideration,
yes,
more tolerance.
Yes.
These are all wholesome qualities.
Yes.
And also qualities that were praised by the Buddha.
Mm.
But they are not qualities that are exclusive to the Buddha's teaching.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
Because people who haven't heard the teaching can also come to appreciate their partner over time, especially when they've been through hard times together and survived. And I don't want to minimize the importance of this level of kusala, but there is also the teaching of the Buddha about the understanding of the present moment in terms of dhammas. And when you mentioned sanya, for example, that's talking about one of the factors that are present at the present moment. And I know you mentioned that in terms of your appreciation that these dhammas are to be understood in time, but it takes time.
Yes, I know.
Right?
It's just a second, but at least if I don't learn the dharma, I would never think it that way about the sanya word whatsoever.
Okay.
But because of learning the dharma, you know, it's not a whole lot, but at least because of that from learning. So I got that a second.
Yes, but some dhammas appear more often than others. For example, seeing an invisible object appearing all the time.
Yes. Of course.
Hearing and sound.
Yes.
Hardness and softness.
Of course.
Temperature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there can be more understanding of these dhammas,
yes,
as and when they appear.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Now I'm doing that way more. So that I mean that I never think it that way before. But whatsoever, I mean that in a year, I'm going to say that my life has been changed a lot.
But the biggest change is not so much your relationship with your husband or that sort of thing, but the biggest change has to be understanding that there are dhammas, that there is a world that does not appear to us normally. Because normally we live in a world of people and things.
Yes.
And it's just ideas and thinking. But from hearing the Dhamma, we understand that there are realities that arise and fall away.
Yes.
And that what we take for people and things,
yes,
are really just different experiencing of dhammas. So that is the biggest change that can happen to a person.
Yes.
And as we often
discuss, can we say that actually no matter whether we are married or live with our family or live on our own, actually there has to be the learning to live alone at each moment with each citta. Because actually, it's at this moment, there's just the world of seeing, just the world of hearing, just the world of thinking, one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there never is a husband we're living with or a family in the absolute sense. It's just living alone with a moment of seeing, living alone with the world of thinking, just for a moment, and then it's gone. One world for an instant and then completely gone. And so it's just learning to live alone with understanding,
yes,
of what is real at this moment.
Yes.
Because everything else is just in the imagination.
Mm-hmm. Now I kind of understand.
And usually we know when at night time when we dream and we wake up, we know that we've been dreaming a lot and that it's a fantasy world.
Yes.
But actually, even when we're awake during the day,
yes,
and we think about Gangrajan and the beautiful trees,
yes,
and the
course,
lovely friends or the ghosts in the south of Thailand and what are we going to eat for lunch, actually it's dream world.
Yes.
Most
yes
of the day as well.
Yes.
Just
as
like
well,
when we're
dream
sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
yes, yes,
thinking about different ideas.
We're dreaming of rains.
On top.
Kini metto.
Continue.
May I add two things? What I did in the past to make our life become much easier One is a metta. You know, the metta is when.
now the family.
not even with her, but I have this with all other people that I met, and that one thing is that helping the life much more. To learning is much more easier for me. And then another thing is the dana, or the give away the money to some people that need. And I did that on my part, that I see if the poor people or the sickness people need some help, and I give that to them, not a lot of money, but I give with my warm heart to them. These two things that helping me in terms of learning and understand Dharma. So, and when these two things come together, and after Benji that she come to the foundation and she studied the same way, that it seemed like we discussing what the experience. When sometimes when I met, I angry with something, and I let she know this is what my problem, and then I told her, it already passed. I could not do anything, but I realized that if I did, or in my mind thinking about bad thing about the person, I should not done that again. And that helping me in terms of bringing good thing more than develop bad thing. This is how I understand the Dharma.
So I'd just like to say first, so we learn that there are different kinds of good deeds, like 10 deeds of merit, punya kriya watu, and you're talking about kinds of generosity, kinds of sila, kinds of metta, and kinds of wise reflection. But the greatest good is the giving up of the idea of self, the idea I can do, I am giving, I am having metta, I am doing good deeds or bad deeds. So even more beneficial is the understanding of Dharma as not me, not you, not I who give or I who have metta. Actually, metta, a dosa, is just a mental factor that arises very briefly and passes away. Impossible to have metta all the time or metta for everyone because it's so brief. And the more understanding, the more one appreciates that so much that is taken for metta is attachment, because they both arise with pleasant feeling. And the same with generosity. We may think every time we give away, it's just lots of generosity. But what about the attachment? Attachment to being a kind person or to the offering. So many different dharmas involved. So understanding that there are just different dharmas that arise and fall away instantly, no matter good ones or bad ones or whatever kind. This is the highest good, and really being sincere or honest to know that at this moment it cannot be good, cannot be kind cheetahs all the time, because so many different kinds of cheetahs, but each one is not you or me, not my generosity, not my metta, just different dharmas. Is even more beneficial.
Okay, we talk about metta before we learn the Dharma. Our metta is expectation. We give because we want something to return. It's gonna be always that way. My experience, I love animals, especially dogs. Every time I feed them, I pray, oh, I hope whatever I'm doing for you now, you're hungry, I'm giving you food. my next life, if I become a dog or wherever I go, I'm very hungry, I wish that someone give me food. Just a town that I'm giving, it's my job anyway because they're mine. So, see, what kind of metta? Now I understand that the metta.
Actually, no metta, just I know, attachment.
That's what I mean, expectation to come back. Both of us is that way, but now I'm telling you, we have changed a little bit by a little bit, not the whole lot, but at least we touching that feeling. We can see the different, the metta, the real metta, or the fake metta. The metta with the expectation, or, you know, just the metta, it's real metta.
I think that the more
understanding and the more truthfulness, the yes. more one sees that so much that one thinks is good is actually just attachment. So one sees more and more ignorance or more attachment is there. That's why, like, if one thinks, oh, one just has lots of metta to everyone in the room, one is kidding oneself because much more attachment than metta. So moments of metta, so brief. And so many moments of attachment too. Yeah. So this is being truthful. This is truthful. Such a parami, being honest about what is real at this moment, not just thinking that one has non-stop metta now for one's wife or non-stop generosity when one feeds the dogs, because different kinds of dharmas, but each one, not mine, not my kindness at all.
So I can example, okay, we now we're learning Dharma. At least we have to have something to start to keep us going. Okay, supposing we are drowning, if we find a little piece of stick, we have to hold on that. At least it keep us from drowning to the next minute. You know what I mean? Until we get stronger. The Dharma is very, very difficult.
Yes. And one thing I think it helps in this regard, say take metta, for example.
Yes.
It helps us to realize that metta can arise at any time.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Metta is wholesome citta
yes.
for other being, right?
Yes.
Yes, so now we are among other beings.
Yes.
Right? If the citta is wholesome,
yes,
there can be metta.
Yes.
If it's not, then it's not metta. Right? So when there is wishing for the well-being of another person with wholesome citta,
yes.
That is metta.
Metta.
Yes. So we understand more about what the different kinds of kusala and agusala are. And that is a condition for kusala to be recognized if it arises and not mistaken for agusala.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So rather than thinking about situations of feeding the dogs or anything like that, we appreciate that during the day, all day long, because there are other people or beings or animals
yes.
that we are thinking about, whether it's someone close to us or someone who is just passing by in the street, the citta may be wholesome or unwholesome at that time.
I don't know what am I at right now. I mean that I'm trying to explain that the Dharma is health. Our life in better, like my example that I feed the dog, I always expect, but now we do, we're not very expected, but because we learn about the metta, right?
When we learn about metta, we learn that it is a
mental
quality,
correct.
Right, that arises,
yes, yes,
can arise
yes,
at
yes,
any
yes,
time,
yes, yes,
right?
Yes,
yes. Not just when we are in that kind of situation, right, can arise now or not.
You know
metta
what?
Now, metta not. Do we know?
I understand. I understand what you mean. But I mean that we have to have something to let me start again. We have to have something to know that we're going to the right way. We have to have that first, for the first step, to make sure that we don't go to the wrong way. You know what I mean? So we have to feel that first. So I mean that we can see from our life it has been changed in a year when I start to go to the foundation, because we appreciate each other more. So from now on, that for us, we have more confidence. You know what I mean? Yeah. That we go to the right way. Okay, like we go to Than Ajahn. She's teaching the Dharma is a right. Real Dharma, not the fake one. You know, we go deep inside of the tree.
Right, but as Ajahn sometimes says, if we're talking about metta, for example, yeah. Just metta is not enough.
Mm-hmm. Right? Of course, yes, because yes. Not enough, of course.
We are in the round of samsara.
Yes, right? Yes, yes.
That is the problem. The problem is not so much lack of metta or having expectations, mm-hmm. but the problem is being in samsara.
Yeah.
So what Ajahn teaches, what the Buddha taught,
yes.
is the development of the path that leads out of samsara.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that the development of that path is not just having more gusala or less gusala in terms of the people we associate with. It has to be something deeper than that. And that's where we talk about understanding of the dhammas that are arising now.
Yes, yes, for now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to understand right. whatever arising now. We stay with now. That's why it kind of, that is sati.
What do we understand about now then?
What we of course, everything is Dharma, like everybody says.
Yeah. For example.
For example, like seeing, yes. not mine.
Right.
It's just a head at Pachai. You know the word head mm-hmm. Pachai? Just head.
Cause and result.
Cause the seeing because of Vibhaga
mm-hmm.
that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
So I think
that's,
because
that's
of
thinking about it.
Thinking.
Isn't it?
It's yeah. a thinking.
Right.
But of course, the thinking is going to come because yes. I'm not that go that high. It's mm-hmm. just from the beginning. Right. But at least the way of thinking. Before, I was just seeing everything, right? So now I'm kind of stay with now more than go back to America 100 times a day before. I mean, my mind go, mm-hmm. or my house, my restaurant, whatsoever. Kind of now. I don't know when that I've stopped.
But that's also kind of thinking, right?
Yeah,
another,
kind of thinking.
Another Dhamma,
before,
different from
right.
seeing.
But from now, I kind of more with now. I really don't go in the past. If I don't learn the Dharma, then I'm very lucky that I have Vao Than Ajahn that I'm learned. I'm right. a beginning.
Yeah, but I just say that when we talk about the present moment, we're not talking...
Okay.
We're talking about the Dhammas of the present moment,
okay,
not just... thinking, whether thinking about the past or future, because that reality is just thinking.
Okay.
That's the present moment reality. So in a sense, it doesn't matter how much we think of the past or the future in that respect, because we do that by tendency. We are that kind of person. We think a lot about the past or the future or different things.
Of course.
By nature.
By nature, yes, of
yeah,
course.
But that right. reality at that moment is mm-hmm. the thinking. That's mm-hmm. the important thing. It's not seeing. It's not hearing. It's not hardness.
Mm-hmm. One at a time.
Mm-hmm. Different.
Different.
Dhammas.
Dhammas.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And seeing now, the moment
of seeing, it's not I am seeing, it's just a Chitta, just
Chitta.
A moment of seeing which sees. So not I see visible object, just seeing itself which sees. And not a matter of I should stay with the present or I am staying with the present. It's not like that, because actually at this moment of seeing, that is the world. nothing else there. Mm-hmm. And at a moment of thinking, no matter it's thinking about America or thinking about the restaurant, the thinking is real at that moment.
Yes, yes.
So it's not a matter of doing anything or trying to stay with the present or anything. There is only the present Dharma. So not I am aware or I should stay with the present, not like that. Okay. Just beginning to understand that at this moment, just a moment of seeing, which arises by its conditions,
yes.
sees what is visible, falls away.
Yes.
Nothing to do, nothing for, no I who can do anything or can be aware of or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So just a moment of seeing, sees that which is visible, falls away.
Mm-hmm.
At a moment of hearing, not I hear, yes. not I stay present. Just a moment of hearing, which hears sound, gone completely, yes. never to return.
Yes.
A moment of thinking about birds or America.
Mm-hmm.
Just a moment of thinking, not my thinking, not my staying
just
present.
Come,
just arises arrive. By its own conditions, falls away. That's it. And that's the world, just one world at a time.
One world at a time.
So forget about trying to stay present or trying to be aware or trying to follow the pain, because all of this is motivated by the idea of I can do something.
Yes.
Or that I am seeing or I am hearing. It's not like that. It's just a moment of seeing.
I kind of put...
Just a moment of hearing.
I kind of put I out of the way yet, because in the beginning, still I. But
it's
least,
still I, yes, I who would like to put yeah, I right. out of the way. But actually, when there is the idea of I, it's just a moment of thinking.
Yes.
Because seeing is not I. Hearing is not I. Visible object is not I. Sound is not I. Thinking is not I.
Yes.
So it is just an idea that is thought about I being present, I being put out of the way, I being sati, being aware. It's just an idea.
Just an idea.
That's all. Like another dream.
Another dream. Dream, real dream was.
I actually have a note that I took when we were in Nakhon Nayok last time at some point in the discussions. I believe it was Ajahn who said, you know, the more understanding develops, the more it becomes part of one's everyday general reference, the more it can become part of one's everyday thinking. And this will happen, the understanding at different levels. And when you're thinking now more and more about consideration for each other or looking at feeding the dogs differently, you know, at a certain level, that's become part of your general, your general reference. It's the understanding of the realities now that can bring the more detachment from the idea of self and self doing things. And you know, you've said, well, I haven't put I out of the way yet. That's a long, long way down the road, but the more understanding develops, the more it will happen, and it will happen by itself. There's no I to do anything about it. Yeah.
Is there sati now?
Is there sati now? Sati. When I understand the sati.
But it's not the object of right understanding, it's not self, see. We just talk about moment of understanding, how many chetasikas are there. But none appear as the object of right understanding.
John is saying...
Yes. You said, if there's understanding, there's sati. That was your answer, right? And Ajahn is saying, but we are just talking about the book knowledge, right? When there's understanding, there's sati. We don't know the characteristic of sati if it appears now. So it's not knowing the number of or the different jetasikas. It's knowing the characteristic when it appears that's important.
Because earlier you mentioned that you understand sati, and so is there sati now? is there any understanding of whether sati arises now or what the characteristic of sati is now?
How to describe, but for my understanding, the sati that I bring out a story about visiting my dad, I believe that even I have the sati at that time, but I still don't know the sati.
All of that is
in the part, what about at this moment? Because like we've discussed, life is just at this moment. So now,
not
visiting the father or not dreaming about America.
Right,
so
now,
at this, right at this moment, is anything known about sati now?
Right now, the sati. Right now. The hardness. My state right now. The person that I'm seeing now, that I harden it.
But hardness is not the object of awareness yet. For example, you can say, I touch hardness, but it doesn't mean that at that moment, hardness is the object of awareness, direct awareness.
Direct awareness.
It's only object of the consciousness, the body consciousness,
the body,
which experiences it.
So you paused and thought and said, okay, now sati of hardness, because you're sitting on the chair. And Ajahn is explaining that that's just thinking about, having an idea about a hardness. Because awareness of hardness, sati, is a wholesome mental state that attends to the characteristic naturally. We wouldn't have to stop and think what's appearing if there was awareness of hardness.
When I say that I'm kind of understand the sati, I bring out the story because of the sati that I have a sati at that time. That's why I go visit my dad with my heart and happiness.
And that's another story about sati. It's not now, and yeah, yes. Well, it may be. If the question is there sati now? Yes, no, or maybe. I don't know.
I kind of get lost right now. Because we can talk about
so many stories, but actually life comes back to this moment. So the test of what has been heard and considered is not, oh, what happened last night at home or what happened 2 years ago. The test is at this very moment. So it may seem clear that there's more metta in a day, or it may seem clear that there's...
Probably not, but it's possible. There's understanding of a reality now.
The point of Kundanji is that
we think we understand what metta is, and there's a lot of metta in our life, or we think we understand what sati is, and we know when there is sati. But right now, is it known whether there is metta? Is it known whether there is sati? If it is sati, what is it aware of right now? And if we don't know, then it's not sati.
Probably it's thinking. Because you heard the word, and your thinking is... Is there sati now, or what is it that I'm supposed to say, or like this? So if there was the experience, the direct experience of hardness now, you could say, oh, yes, there's sati now, but then it's gone. But, you know, if you have that experience, the real sati, there's a chance it can occur again. But simply thinking about what it is and if I have it and so on is not going to bring it again.
So if it's not knowing or...
Doubt. Or confusion now, then it's not sati now. So it means sati is not known at this moment. Yes.
But, you know, you could understand that there was doubt.
Mm.
There was no sati, but there was doubt about sati. And doubt's a reality.
I mean that supposing at that moment, if I don't learn the Dharma, if I say, and I might do like this because I have state, I don't do that kind of sati, that is kusala. Is that correct? I have state right now. Okay, I'm going to step. Oh, no, because it's life. I couldn't take the life away, not by me, of course. That's kind of sati. We have sample, I mean.
So just for that moment of restraining from harming, that moment of kindness, for that moment, for that instant, then sati is there, but nothing known about it.
Yes,
and okay. Then the next moment, when there's a moment of dosa, no sati at all. But at this moment, I think Ajahn asked, what is awareness aware of, or what is the characteristic of awareness if it's the object and usually not known at all? So what is important is actually understanding. Without understanding, nothing is known about sati. It seems like when one behaves well in the day that there's lots of sati, but it's actually just thinking about it, thinking about a long story or situation, because if it's not known now, then we cannot say it's known at other times.